Let me first take a few announcements. By Saturday, by 4 o'clock, by 4 o'clock on Saturday, those who were among the inductees from the last exercise are supposed to be here for a meeting. And by 5, we are having the workers' meeting. So all workers should be here. I had announced on Sunday that those who gave their life to Christ, especially during the workers' retreat, that they should see me after the service. So all those who gave their life to Christ at the workers' retreat should see me after this service. So all you just do is just come to where I am, and then we'll see us briefly as we can. On Sunday, we have two guest ministers, like I mentioned. And it's the fifth Sunday of the month, so we have the choir special ministration. So, and I think we've discussed the way it will go. Like you notice on Sunday, our offering now comes at the towards the end of the service. Gentlemen's Forum is also holding on that Sunday. And I know somebody is going to be blessed. I have this announcement here, but I want the leadership of the economy students to see me after this meeting. And which one is Kuesa? What's Kuesa? Yes. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, you are the potter, and we are clay. How can we ever as clay tell the potter, why hast thou made me thus? Lord, we are gathered before you tonight because of your love for us and in obedience to your word that we should not forsake the assembly of one another. Holy Spirit, we are asking that you will take absolute control, that you will have your way tonight. There are very specific things you have for each of us. We are praying, Lord, that you will speak to us yourself, that no man will be seen, but that, Lord, you alone will be so visible, so real in every heart. Father, we are praying, Lord, that which you want to do in each of our lives tonight, you will manifest in Jesus' name. Thank you, covenant-keeping God. Blessed be thy holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Father, you are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord. Hallelujah. You are worthy. Oh, Father, you are worthy, worthy. It will appear as if you are in control. And you tend to respond as a human being to the cues in your environment, because sometimes you have the impression that you are in control. Tonight, we are going to be looking at the prayer of Jabez. And I'm praying that the understanding that God wants us to have so that we can live the life of an overcomer, that we will have it and manifest it in every area of our lives in Jesus' name. In the entire Bible, that name, Jabez, occurs 4 times. And 3 of them occur in the passage that we quote a lot of the time. And that is 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. So Jabez is the name of somebody. But Jabez is also a location. In 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55, the Bible tells us and shows us that Jabez is a location. You probably have heard about Jabez the man. You may not have appreciated the facts of Jabez, the location. You do know from what happened in Genesis chapter 12 that location is critical to who you are and to what you become. If location was not important, God would probably not have asked Abraham to relocate. But you know, when you look at 1 Chronicles 2:55, you find that families dwelt in Jabez. Where you find families dwelling, that should be a big enough place. Wherever families are, there is some size. I don't know those families, but their names are mentioned there. So, if families dwelt in Jabez, how can a mother, thinking of what name to give the child, we now say the name I want to give this child is Jabez. It means that whatever name you bear today, as at this moment, if it was working against you before now, it will begin to work for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
though there are many things we take for granted. And I'm praying that somebody here, when there is opportunity to pray, will pray earnestly. If Jabez the man is the one we want to talk about today, it means that no matter the name that you bear, no matter the location that you are associated with, or that you live in, or that you come from, you can make a difference. Those who will make a difference, they need to come to the point of conviction regarding the situation of their lives. I was reflecting, and I said, we just saw Jabez praying. We heard a little about the background. But how did Jabez pray? How? We know the weddings. Was he kneeling down? Was he lying down? Was he just going up and down? How did Jabez pray? And I've had a number of persons talking about how do we pray. On Sunday we heard that you can have a pattern that God has shown us in Matthew chapter 6 and from 9 to 13. There could be a pattern. But how did Jabez pray? Because when you probably have an insight into how he prayed or the situation of his life and heart, then somebody here will begin to pray and get answers. I say somebody here will begin to pray and get answers. Because one of the riddles for someone here is, how come I'm praying and I'm not getting answers? So I asked myself, how did Jabez pray? In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9, there was a location called Shiloh. And a woman called Anna went with her family to Shiloh. It was a very specific location. That's the reason why you have to be careful how you handle the prayer you pray in the house of God. Because some will get testimonies. Others will be wondering what really happened. The Bible says in verse 9 that after they had drunken, after they have eaten, they started with eating, and then later they talked about drinking. That means it was celebration for that family. But look at what happens in verse 10. The Bible says that one of those who were part of the eating and drinking party had bitterness of soul. That is the reason why at times you attend a birthday party and everybody is jumping up and down, and suddenly you could catch the celebrant who is like absent-minded. He's not there. Something needs to bring him back. In verse 10, Anna, who just emerged from a place that should keep him laughing, had bitterness or soul. And the Bible says she wept sore. Whatever is making you to cry, tonight you will tell it, I have no portion in you anymore. Weeping is a serious matter. Psalm 30 verse 5 talks about weeping that can last the whole night. So it is possible that as soon as it is dark, 7 o'clock, up till maybe around 5 a.m., somebody can just be weeping. You have been weeping in this place, but your time has come. So she wept. When a person weeps, that is serious enough. But she wept sore. Now, when you weep sore, it means that that weeping that you are weeping has acquired the status of a sore. How many of you have ever had a sore in your life? You had a sore at one point or the other, maybe on the leg or on the... Anybody here? Praise God for you. The rest are from UK. We thank God for that. When you have a sore, and a bad sore for that matter, you are never at ease. The flies enjoy your company. You have pain. You have irritation. And anything could happen because of that sore. Anna wept sore. You get to a point in your life when you have to weep before God and say, I cannot bear it anymore. So if you ask, how did Anna pray? Anna had bitterness of soul and she wept sore. That was how she prayed. Who else prayed that we want to talk about? The Bible says in Esther chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16 that Esther bade, she told the people, the servants, go and tell my uncle Mordecai. That was introduction. Gather all the Jews in Shushan and go and begin to pray for me. For 3 days, day and night, and also fast. How do you pray? There are times that the Spirit of God will move you to fast for 3 days and nights. And you know that when there are some situations that when they happen to you, when you see food, you'll be looking at it. May you not have that experience again in Jesus' name. She said they should pray and fast for her and that she herself. So for those of you who are looking for who will pray for you, Esther said, tell all the people to pray and fast for 3 days and nights for me. But me too, I will pray and fast. There are prayers that your mother will offer for you. Glory be to God for mothers. If you don't agree with the spirit and the logic of that prayer, you may not get the results that you need to get. So she told them, and she now said, after that period, because some of us just jump out of our rooms every day without bothering to prepare ourselves for the day. You need preparation. Those of you who have taken one examination before, you know that you don't just go into an exam hall without preparing. You prepare. She said she needed that before she can approach the king. And she said, if she perish, she perish. But there's somebody here, as you make up your mind that you are going to hold on to God to deliver you, that deliverance will manifest in Jesus' name. That was how Esther prayed. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3, it was a difficult time for the people of Israel. So, Nehemiah was getting a report regarding the situation in Jerusalem. In verse 3, the Bible tells us that Jerusalem, I mean the people that were left in Jerusalem, they were in captivity, which was bad enough. They were afflicted and they were suffering reproach. How many of you know the meaning of reproach by what you have seen around you, maybe in your home or somewhere? It is a terrible state. Reproach is not something you joke about. Whatever reproach your family is facing, tonight you are going to hold on to the hands of God and tell the Almighty God, Father, remember us. And God will remember somebody here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He says, the affliction and the reproach, they are not the only challenges there are. He said, the walls of Jerusalem have broken down. When the wall of Jerusalem breaks down, it means that you no more have any security. Do you understand? Part of the challenge somebody here is facing is because the wall of Jerusalem, the wall that is surrounding you, has crumbled. And he says, and the gates have been burned with fire. If you later see how Nehemiah prayed, because the next thing was, from verse 4, was that he just went down. I mean, he mourned, he wept 13 days. The Bible did not mention the number of days. In the case of Esther, 3 days. Nehemiah, 13. I don't know what 13 means. But there is somebody here who will not stop anymore when they are near their testimony. Because if you want to be religious in the place of prayer, by the time you have prayed, you say, this person did 3 days prayer and fasting. That is what I will also do. 7 days means as many days as is required for your reproach to roll away. For you to say, well, I think I know I'm not dull. And I don't know why my CGPA is like this. And it requires 7 days for you to hold on to God. You will never again be lazy at that point in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, that was for Nehemiah. There was weeping involved because it was a serious matter. But he was not weeping or mourning because of his personal thing. There are some people who are going to have to intercede. That the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He said, I exhort you, brethren. I exhort you. Let me encourage you to begin to value prayer, supplication, and all that. That was how Nehemiah prayed. In the book of Daniel, remember we are talking about, we don't know how Jabez prayed, but we still have some examples in the Word of God about how some people prayed. So by the time we look at those examples, maybe it will now give us an idea, because when you see in 1 Chronicles 4:9, and it says, now Jabez was more honorable. That word, honorable, we will want to understand what it is all about. So in Daniel chapter 6, of course you know what happened. Daniel was, you know, it's just like you are trying to work for God, and there are those who just don't like you because you are standing for God. God is going to vindicate somebody here. I say, God is going to vindicate somebody here.
Amen.
So you know what happened? That he was in a comfortable position. Whenever your family is enjoying comfort, please know that that is the best time to begin to pray. Because comfort is not permanent. Whenever anytime you ask for anything, your father, your mother, your guardian say, okay, how much do you need? And they give it to you. That is when you need to begin to pray that that river will never dry. Because rivers do dry. The brook of Cherith dried up. And a man of God had to be relocated. Somebody will pray tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, in verse 10, by the time Daniel had known that the writing has been signed, of course, the whole idea was that nobody should pray to any other god. When he knew that the writing had been signed, he went to his house. And I like what I see in that verse. He opened his windows towards Jerusalem. He did not open his windows towards Egypt. Do you understand? He did not open his window towards a place that God's insignia was known. He opened his window towards Jerusalem. Right now, where is your own window open to? Where is your gaze? What are you looking at? He opened the window, and the Bible says he knelt down 3 times a day. He knelt down. I thank God for some people, because when the worship session is going on, at times you just see they just go on their knees. They cannot stand. They just can't stand. It's like when Solomon was dedicating the temple. They just go on their knees. And what are they saying? That, Lord, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed. I think Psalm 61 verse 2. There's a rock that is higher than you. And when your heart is overwhelmed, you want to go to that rock. So, he went on his knees as he was used to. And he prayed to the God who is the omnipotent God. You know, when you are dealing with the one who is omnipotent, you recognize the fact that potency is something that if you lose it, you can't have children of your own. And that's a generational thing. When the devil begins to drain you of that potency that God has given you, for instance, somebody was around me today, and I know he's very intelligent. Very, very intelligent. But his intelligence has been subordinated. He's not manifesting the qualities that God has deposited in him to make him a sign and wonder. Maybe you are in that position. And for you, you yourself know that this is not the me. This is not me. There is something to me than what I am seeing now. I'll give you an example. There's a man who is extraordinarily gifted. He's very, very intelligent. He has acquired the educational qualification that you need. The situation as of today is that his home is scattered. His life has never found the shape that his gifting qualifies him for. And there is a generational path to that. Whatever generational course that wants to keep you, a further example of the negativity your lineage has suffered, as you pray tonight, that course is broken in Jesus' name. So, Daniel prayed. And we know that God answered. God is answering somebody tonight in Jesus' name. That means any tells you not to pray. Because you're asking, okay, what should I pray in the morning, or I just rush for lectures? You know, it's 8 o'clock. Let me quickly go. Then you need to go to Psalm 5 and verse 3. When you see Psalm 5 and verse 3, the Bible mentions a specific time of the day. And he says it is that time that he will pray to God. Because Psalm 11 verse 3 says, if the foundation, the money of your life is destroyed, what can you ever achieve? So Psalm 5 verse 3 spoke about the money. For instance, I think I've mentioned it to you before, that when I was in year one in the university, we were not roommates because it wasn't an officially allocated room. That time, it was God for all, every man for himself. Wherever you see to put your head in the campus, you put your head. So we're in that place. And the person that was the third from where I put my camp bed, because it was camp bed I had to use. Everybody was jammed, you know. The man was a 60-year-old man who already had 10 children, but he just started school with me in year one. So you want to ask yourself, what is it that will keep you now that you can avoid such a situation? From focusing, because this is the money of your life. A time is coming when, like those of you who are doing a professional exam, maybe you did it once and it's like you failed or something, and then you now say, this is too much. I will wait until I graduate. I can assure you that time you take double the effort you need to make now in order to make it. Somebody will use their money wisely in Jesus' name. Amen. So the psalmist said, in the morning will I pray to you. And of course, you know, the person who wept through the night, in Psalm 30 verse 5, the one that prayed in the morning, the one that just said, Luke 18 verse 1 says, may not always to pray, always. What are they doing? They are saying that they cannot help themselves. How many of you have been able to help yourself so that you are exactly where you want to be? Can I see your hand? You will get to reach your destination in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, how did Jabez pray? Because these are examples of people that prayed, and there was an indication of how they prayed. The Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9 that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. What does it mean to be more honorable? It means that there are qualities in you, there are virtues in you that cannot be found in your brethren. That is, as you are seated here now, there are qualities that you have that other people are saying, don't you see that girl? Can you not see that boy that is not like any other boy? How many of you will have that testimony from tonight? Receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
He said he was more honorable. You know what that tells me? It means that Jabez understood the language of righteousness. He was more honorable than his brethren. What does it mean? It means that Jabez was another David. Because when a man's ways please God, there is a way he responds to their prayer. He was more honorable. And they said the mother called him Jabez. Because he said, I bear him in sorrow. There are some of you, the least problem you have to deal with, you begin to say all kinds of things into your life. Let me repeat that again. The least challenge that you have, as soon as the problem surfaces, you begin to use your mouth to destroy yourself. And whether you know it or not, that mouth that you have used to declare into your life, and the hosts are saying amen, some of the problems you eventually find happening to you is because of the accumulation of the confession of negativity in your own life with your own mouth. So sometimes they pray for you and they say, it is well with you, and you first of all laugh. What is the cause? What's the thing to laugh about there? It is well with you. Amen. Tell me it is well with me. Amen. It is well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But you, when you said it is well with me, you did not say in Jesus' name. So say it to me now.
Well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen. It is well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want you to talk to God in prayer and say, Father, it is well with me in Jesus' name. Begin to talk to the Lord. Father, it is well with me. It is well with me. Listen, it has to be well with you. Talk to God, our Lord. It has to be. Father, it is well with me. It is well with me. Because if it is not well with you, you yourself. Father, it is well with me. It is well. It is well. Lord, I need that wellness. Let it be well with me, Lord, in every area of my life. Let it be well. Let it be well with me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
It is well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In verse 10, the Bible says that Jabez called upon the God of Israel. Jabez did not call upon the God of the stomach. You know, stomach is a god. He did not call on the God of being accepted. You know, there are people who do anything to be accepted. They could, and you know, God has made us differently. You are just yourself. You are unique. I was reading an article in about the voice just some days ago. See, your voice is unique to you. You've heard about fingerprints, but your voice, you know, sometimes you say, I thought it was somebody like that. Those who study voice, they will tell you that no two voices are the same. I don't know how it works. You can only have a resemblance, but no two are the same. So that's the reason why right now they are doing voice very soon. Because I was reading in a foreign magazine, and they've already started this. You'll notice that when you call the call center of your bank, sometimes they will tell you that your voice is being recorded for quality and all that. They are already taking your voice. So the next time you call, your name will register. So it's not just an issue of fingerprints anymore. So all this biometric registration is getting to that point. And they have rolled it out. HSBC is, they have one of the companies, they call it Nuance, you know. There are companies now that their specialization is to get these organizations, these banks and all that, to have, you know, a database that will make it possible that you want to send a check and your voice will be the thing to do it. And you already know that they are even your computer, there are those that if it's not you, that computer will not open. I hope you already know that is happening. That's why you need to know God. Because the prince of the world has boxed everything and everyone. So that it is, how can you escape the Antichrist? So Jabez said, he said, oh Lord, that thou wouldest bless me. You don't understand. Jabez called upon God. He called. So he called. There's calling is not exactly like weeping. But he called on God. What position he was taking, I don't know. So if you ask me, how should you pray? I say, me too. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that or we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmity. He's the one helping us to pray. So but Jabez called and he said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Talk to God and say, Father, remember me to bless me. Talk to the Lord. Lord, bless me. I need your blessing. I need your blessing, oh God. Father, bless me. And bless me indeed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You know, there is a blessing and there is a blessing indeed. I want a blessing indeed. Why do you need to be blessed? In Numbers chapter 22, there was a particular ruler called Balak. And the Bible says he sent messages to a particular man of God called Balaam. And in verse 6, the Bible says that the man sent the message and said that, because I know that you, Balaam, whoever you bless is blessed. How many of you want to be in that position? That as you open your mouth, it's only for you not to, once you open your mouth and say you are blessed, no enemy can go near the person. So when Jabez prayed and said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me, he was saying that because when you are blessed, let me tell you some things that can happen to you. First of all, let's talk about the blessings of God. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, they make it rich, and no sorrow is added. To have the blessing without sorrow. If you know, some years ago, a man called me. The man is a billionaire. He's a major contractor. But his son was doing very badly. So he was so concerned, he said he was going to withdraw the son, that he was helping a lot of people. But his own son was doing badly. It can be a big pain when a child, the one you look forward to carry on the heritage, is not doing well. It can be a big pain when a pastor has a son who has turned his back on God. It can be a big pain when there is a female minister that gets invited all over the place, but the daughter is into drugs. So when he says, and no sorrow is added, it means that when God blesses you, the blessing is, there is no but, like in the case of Naaman. You are going to pray to God and say, Lord, everything that amounts to sorrow in my joy, Father, remove it from my life. Talk to the Lord. Father, Lord, I just pray. Everything that amounts to sorrow in any form,
In my joy, Lord, remove it totally. I want the blessing of the Lord that make it rich. I want that blessing, Lord. That blessing that is all too evident. Sorrow cannot even come nigh. Father, Lord, let me experience that blessing in a real, in a very tangible manner. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
The blessing of the Lord. One of them is what you have in Haggai chapter 1 verse 8. And he says the silver and gold, they belong to God. Many of you are a miracle in terms of how you are coping. You are a miracle. In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1, the Bible talks about somebody here that you are spending money, you are buying without money. That's what is happening to you. You just find out that you are eating, you are drinking. Where is the money? I have no money in my account. How is it happening? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. So, the one who has the silver and gold, in that Haggai chapter 1 and verse 9, the next verse, he says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. I want you to talk to God and say, my future will be better than my past. Everything, Lord, in my past, that was a source of reproach, that was a source of shame, Father, remove it totally from my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, help me, O Lord. Help me, O God. Help me, help me, help me, help me, O Lord. Help me, Lord, that my future will be brighter, it will be better, it will be more glorious. My family's future will be more glorious. Your power will work for us. Your glory will manifest in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So when God blesses you, because you can imagine this man was born in sorrow. The mother just looked at him and said, you are going to be like one of them. So begin to answer Jabez. That's why I'm saying that it doesn't matter what you knew of yourself or what you knew of your family, that somebody's story is about to change.
Amen.
And it will change for the better.
Amen.
So he said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. I mean, how many of you really want to be blessed? Tell God, Father, my hands are lifted to you. Lord, bless me. Look up, I'm lifting up my hands to you. Bless me, Lord. Bless me. Because when you bless me, nobody can mistake it for anything else. Because it will be so real. Father, bless me, Lord. These are my hands. I lift them up to you, Lord. Lord, bless me. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me, O God. Bless me. Bless me, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Oh, that I will bless. And you can imagine the life of Jabez. They had neighbors. There were those that Jabez knew. They had means. Probably you will see the mother. I remember some of the experience that we had when we were growing up. There are times that you will see your neighbor eating some kind of food, wearing some kind of dress, putting on some. I remember my first trouser was when I was in secondary class 2. That was the first trouser I had. And I think the photograph is still somewhere. But you know, I know how that trouser came about. So, Jabez must have seen a lot. And, you know, if you live in some neighborhoods, you see that a lot of people dump food in the waste bin. And some other human beings go there. They are waiting
For the time the food will be dumped, and then they will come. So Jabez looked like, what kind of life is this? When you turn in this direction, they drive you. You go in this direction, you even go to meet the one who you think can help you. And he tells you, I don't receive visitors at this time. And you say, but mommy, I thought you said this is your mother's other destiny. And he said, well, actually, I don't know. So one of the lessons you learn in life is what Psalm 118 verse 8 says. It is better to trust in God than to put confidence in man. So Jabez got up and said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Somebody will be blessed here tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And he said, and enlarge my coast. It is one thing to be blessed, another one to have an enlarged coast. Let me, you've seen the map of the world. You've seen the map of the world. You know where Nigeria is on the map. According to Esther chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible tells me that there was a king called Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was the king over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. How many countries are there now? Between India. Now, India is the second most populated country in the whole world. Ethiopia is in the Horn of Africa. Ethiopia is where you have the African Union headquarters. So between Ethiopia and India, one man was in charge. Are you asking why Jabez said, and enlarge my coast? So if you think you are in charge of Ethiopia, you say, relax. Oh, you say, okay, Eritrea is also part of it. I say, what is Eritrea, Ethiopia? And I say, they say, all those countries around the Mediterranean up to Asia, India in Asia. If you know how big India is, I don't even know. I mean, the person was specially anointed by God to be able to administer 127 provinces. I don't know whether that translates to countries. But Jabez looked and said, if Ahasuerus can be in charge of all of this, because sometimes when some of us, when we have a little thing, maybe one t-shirt or one trouser or one suit, it's like we have made it. And Jabez said, I don't want to take the crumbs. I have seen prosperity. I need it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12, the Bible tells us what can happen to you. The blessing will make you to lend to nations. When God blesses you, you begin to lend to nations. I want to tell the Lord and say, Father, help me, Lord, so that nations will be blessed through me. Talk to the Lord. Father, Lord, I just pray. Help me, Lord, that nations will be blessed through me. That, Lord, I will impact nations. My family will impact nations. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I will not be ordinary. Lord, your presence, your power, your anointing will continue to speak in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And he said, that your hand will be with me. When God's hand is with you, what happens? You've, You've seen Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God is for you, no power can be against you. The reason why you do everything to please human beings is because you don't even know God yet. When you know God, all it needs is for God to stand for you or your family. No power can shake you. That's the reason why you need a friendship with God. That your hand will be with me. Look at Psalm 105 and verse 14. He said he suffered them to do them no wrong. He reproved kings for their sake. When God is with you, nobody can touch you. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. He said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of Christ. You need a mark. If his hand is with you, that's why Jabez prayed that prayer. I don't know whether he was lying down. I don't know whether he was sitting down. I don't know whether he was weeping, but he said he called on the Lord. And he said, Father, I know if your hand is with me, nobody can make me. They can't just rubbish the person. So he talked to God. And he said, I know that when your hand is with me, it will make all the difference. How many of you want the hand of the Lord upon your life? It will be so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I say it will be so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, just take a look around you. By the time you see Psalm 126 and verse 1, that when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Look at your life. You have been in bondage, spiritual, physical, financial. And here you are, God intervenes. He turned around your captivity. People will look at you, you are like cinema to them. Because the hand of God has now come upon your life. You talk to God and tell him that, Lord, I want your hand upon my life. Let your hand come upon my life. Let it come upon my life. Let it come upon my home. Let it come upon my spirit, my soul, and my body. Father, let your hand come upon me. Let it do something new, something special in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, let your hand rest upon me. Let your hand rest upon me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, John 14 verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. When God's hand is upon you, God will trouble your troubler.
Amen.
One of the things that God does for those who are his is that he will give the person who has made you his project so much problem that the person will not even know that you are there anymore. That's the reason why you need him. You need him more than you need your flesh. Because this flesh has not helped you. And he says, and that you will keep me from evil. It's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You're going to pray to God and say, Father, deliver me from every evil. Talk to the Lord. Father, deliver me from every evil. Whatever amounts to evil, Father, deliver me from it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Evil friends, evil situations, evil, whatever is evil, Father, deliver me from it. In the mighty name of Jesus, help me, O God. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Maybe I should just tell you, you know, because in Judges chapter 6, the Bible tells us about what happened when Israel sinned against God. When Israel sinned against God, he allowed their enemies to deal with them. I know what the enemies used to do. When Israel is planting, the enemies will not do anything. No. But when it is harvest time, they will descend on their harvest like grasshoppers. You know the meaning of that. One of the things that happens to you when you pay your tithe in Malachi chapter 3 is that the Lord rebukes the devourer for your sake. So, when, for instance, you plant and it's at the point of getting, you work the whole month, by the time you are about to get your salary, sickness will come. And you find that this is a pattern. You use your resources to take care of some people don't even observe the pattern. But there are those who will say, it's true. Why is it that anytime it is salary time, that is when this situation comes. And by the seventh day of the new month, it's like you never got any salary. You've heard stories about those that depend on their gate men and their drivers to cope. You are going to pray and say, Lord, whatever devourer is operating in my life, open my eyes, O God. Open my eyes, O Lord. That, Father, I will never cooperate with the enemy anymore. I will obey you. I will do your will. I will do whatever you want me to do. Lord, rebuke every devourer in my sake. I rebuke every devourer in my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, help me to walk in obedience to you. Thank you, Father Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. He says, so that it will not grieve me. Because evil grieves. Do you understand? Evil grieves. There is nobody who is having the spell of evil. Who you will see that will be like, is walking and doing things normally. It grieves. It brings pain. It brings all kinds of situations. But there is somebody here who will tonight tell God and say, Lord, I will not be a victim anymore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You can't afford it. And the Bible says that, and God answered his prayers. I like that. I love it. When God answers your prayer, there is no way you will not smile. There is no way that those who used to look at you as if you are not anything will not look at you and say, something has happened. Something happened after tonight. Something is going to happen after tonight. Yeah. And from now, you will never take anything for granted again in Jesus' name. Yeah. Brethren, I don't know how Jabez prayed. I don't know the position. So I cannot tell you that when you want to pray, you lift up one leg. I don't know. All I know is that his prayer was effectual and it produced results. Remember, Jabez was more honorable than his fellows. He was somebody that learned to fear God. Job 28:28, the fear of God, that is wisdom. Maybe you are still enjoying the situation you find yourself. Because some people, the moment the school fees can be paid, that means everything is okay. But you know that even people that answered okay, they still have issues to deal with. Can we close our eyes? You're here and you know that you are disconnected from the only one who can help you. You want to surrender your life to Christ. I want you to lift up your hand where you are, and then we'll pray with you. If you are lifting up your hand, lift it up properly. Like I always tell people, if you want to open your eye, open your eye. Father, we thank God for those hands. If there are other people You want God to take control. Every prayer you pray from now, including the one you pray tonight, that there will be testimony. Are there other people before we pray? Father, we want to thank you. We are grateful for these hands that are lifted up. They have lifted up their hands, including the one lifting up the two hands. They are not lifting up them up to me. They are lifting them up to you who can help them. The one, you are the one who answered the prayer of Jabez. Because of this double surrender, Father, we pray that, Lord, you will remember this, your children, to answer their prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We are praying, oh God, that whatever it is that kept them from yielding themselves till now will lose their hold over their lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
From tonight, you will not only pray in the morning, you will not only pray at night, you will not only pray through the day, you will pray always in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whatever made Jabez to be honorable, so much that his life is what we are referring, nobody is remembering 1 Chronicles 2:55 about Jabez's location. We are only remembering Jabez the person. Your life will produce testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Every Egyptian you saw till now, you will see them no more forever.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
The rest of us, you know that for those who gave their life to Christ, you also want to wait and see me after the service. You want to rise up. And as you are rising up, bring out your offering. There is a song that Jabez may not have sung. But as we sing this song, I want you to know that God, who will receive your offering and who alone answers prayer, is here tonight. And that as you give from the depth of your heart, he will receive it from you and you have a testimony in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. Disobedience to God in any form, that yoke is destroyed in your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whatever has hindered your prayer will never hinder you again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Whatever has kept you from total surrender to the Almighty God has lost its hold over your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just as Jabez prayed, from tonight you begin to pray and there will be testimonies in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. Blessed be thy holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Before we share the grace, They said royal family will wait after the service. And I want us to pray for our sister. What's your name? Toby, okay. Let's pray for her. Father, we want to thank you for Toby. We rebuke every spirit of infirmity. We command it out of our life in Jesus' name. You were not feeling strong, yet you came to the house of God because he's the healer. Jehovah Rapha settles you now, and you are healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Affliction will not arise again in your life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever in Jesus' name. We are going to shout just three hallelujahs. And the first hallelujah is for the one that you yourself know that your prayer did not go beyond the roof before now. But because your prayer will begin to go above the roof, because heavens have opened to you, shout a big hallelujah. Because for one person here, what happened to Jabez? Somebody relegated, somebody suffering reproach and shame, somebody that the family background has condemned. Because you know that what happened to him, that he became transformed and is now a reference point for all generations. That is your testimony. Shout hallelujah. Now, because you know now that even before you call, God will be answering you. Shout a big hallelujah.